everybody. Welcome to Mondays with Maggie. My name is Jesse Blanco, host of not only this podcast, but Eat It and Like It with Jesse Blanco. You can find that Sundays, 12:30 on WJCL. On the other end of the line is Margaret. We call her Maggie Crenshaw. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. It's getaway day for me, but we will discuss that a little bit later. You have a good weekend?
Had a great weekend. How about you?
Yeah, it was quiet. As you know, mine is a football family. Sheila travels to games at Florida State, and sometimes I go with, and sometimes I stay home. But the fall around here is very, very busy, to-ing and fro-ing. As you know, we've done this long enough for you to know I'm usually somewhere on the weekend, but last weekend and this weekend I've been home.
I've been home. For a change for you?
Uh-huh. But the flip side of that is now I'm not home on the weekend until mid-December. How about that? Gone every weekend.
Couple months.
Yeah, a couple of months. One of them is over in Hilton Head. I'll be there on November 1 and 2, the Concours d'Elegance event. Have you ever attended that?
Yes. Always the first weekend in November.
Yep. I'll be over there.
Lovely event.
I'll be on your island for that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've never attended. I will be over there for that. But other than that, I'm out of town. There's the Whiskey, Wine, and Wildlife Food Festival down in St. Augustine the weekend after. The weekend after that, we're actually shooting an episode of the TV show up in Bourbon Country. We're going to bourbon tasting, me and Bob, Uncle Bob, we call him, from Hilton Head Wine and Spirits. We're going on a roadie.
Nice.
We're going on a roadie up to Louisville to document the creation of a barrel of bourbon. That'll be mid-November, and then
that's very cool.
Yeah, and then Thanksgiving. Actually, the 23rd. Am I home the 23rd? I don't even know. What'd you do this weekend? Anything
well
fun?
At Sea Glass Stage? Yeah. Actually, it was our final weekend of the show that we've been running through October. So it was really just a weekend about, I wasn't in this show, and we've been talking about this every Monday for the past few weeks, but I ran the front of house and helped with concessions and all that I do as a board member, to ensure that our patrons have a good time. A little bit of that, a little bit of walking on the beach, a little bit of, we had a cast party for the cast last night, and I was responsible for cooking all that, so it was a good 4 days of prepping lasagna and pastas and salads and desserts.
That sounds like
fun. So, yeah, and I always enjoy myself doing that no matter what's going on. So
that's cool. How many in the cast? How many did you have to cook for?
Well, this show is smaller. We have four actors, two men and two women, and then the crew, three people on crew, stage manager, and two wonderful volunteers from local area high school. And then, the board, all of us board members were there. So I don't know how many that is. It was like 10.
That's cool. You know, it's funny, over the years when I was working in TV news and I had coworkers, it's funny for me to say that. I don't do Eat It and Like It alone. There are a handful of people that I deal with semi-regularly that helped me move this boulder along. But back when I had coworkers, I would tell people, yeah, because we're having a party in my house and, oh, how many people? Oh, 70. You're cooking for 70 people? Yeah. And I can cook for 70 people without really even thinking about it, but that just sounds so intimidating to a lot of people. It's pretty funny. But, you know, you say,
yeah,
oh, it's 10.
Like, I agree. Like 100 people is, like, not a big deal.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you anything say over 10, that, then it gets right. a little bit logistically challenging.
Right. But you say 10, I'm like, roll out of bed and cook for 10 people, three courses each, whatever. That's easy peasy. Because essentially,
well, yeah.
if you make something once, then you usually make, you could make enough for 10 people, I guess is what it amounts to.
So, sure. And the, you know, this menu was, I could do it blindfolded and handcuffed, but just because I do everything from scratch, right. salad dressings, all the pasta, all the desserts, and, you know, like everything from scratch, nothing is store-bought. So it's building it from the ground up. It just takes a little longer. And of course, I always plan a day for provisioning, you know, where I go to the store and I gather everything I need, and that's all I do that day.
Right.
You know, and then the next day it's like, well, today I'm going to make the pesto and I'm going to make the salad dress, do the easy things,
right?
You know, that can hold in the refrigerator. And then, you know, it's just, it's really taking a task list and breaking it up and dividing, you know, I'm going to do this much this day and this much, you know, the next day, because the cooking is the easy part. It's the running around to all the different stores to get all the different products that you need, washing the dishes, in my case, going to the closet and finding all the cake pans, you know, all the gathering all the equipment that I need that's hidden in weird places in my house because my kitchen isn't big enough for all of it, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. When I do my biggest cooking day of the year is Christmas Eve, that's about 60 people on average, but I do, you know, my own prep. I make the list a week out, what I need, what can I do in advance so that on game day, quote unquote game day, it's fairly easy. It's just, you know, do this, do that, you know, like I marinate my pork butts when I make pork butt, I marinate them 48 hours in advance. And I put them in Kroger bags and I tie them up and I put them in the back of the fridge. So, you know, for those 48 hours leading up to, the heavy lifting is done. The mess is done. On game day, it's a matter of just putting it in the oven at 275 and just letting it go for hours, you know. So,
yeah.
I get it. Have you made it out anywhere? I had plans to come to the island last week, and I don't remember what happened that kept me from it. But I'm going to be, as we said, I'm going to be at that event the weekend of November 1 and 2. But I will be over your way in the next couple of weeks a few times, not this week. We'll talk about my this week toward the end of this here podcast, but I've got a busy week. Where did you get to last week? Anywhere fun?
I did. I had the most surprise, totally unplanned dinner at Bodie's Chop House. And, you know, you've been, and we've talked about it on the podcast, I don't know, some months back, but I hadn't had the chance to go there, and I did, and it was just such a unplanned, totally off-the-cuff kind of thing, with a mutual friend of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Matt Stock, who we have spoken of sometimes on this podcast about, because he bartends over at Cool Cats Lounge, where you like to go to, you and Sheila, sometimes when you guys are here.
Yeah.
But he volunteered with us at the theater and helped us with concessions, and it was just sort of like, hey, want to go get something to eat? Yeah, let's go get something to eat. So we went and had this great dinner. And, you know, Matt knows a lot of folks in the food and beverage industry, because all the restaurants and bars around town, when the servers and whatnot get off, Cool Cats is one of the places on the island that's still open. So anyway, I felt like I was with a huge celebrity, because everybody stopped by to say hello to him. But the food and the service were exceptional. I don't remember exactly what you told me you had there, but we started with escargot and we had the scallops, two starters that were very good there. Their escargot was probably up in the top three, best I've ever had. It was so good.
Wow.
Yep, very good.
That's impressive. Yeah. No, I didn't have escargot when I went. I went a year ago, right now, this week. A year ago this week, I was there.
They've been open. That you went right almost soon after they opened, didn't you?
I would guess so. It was literally this week last year that I went. Did they have the deconstructed crab cake on the menu? They had to have. Did you notice?
Are you asking me? Yeah. No, I don't remember exactly. I don't remember exactly.
So escargot, scallops.
Escargot.
Scallop appetizer, scallops. I assume. Mm-hmm.
So the server rattled off, you know, the day's specials, and they had a swordfish special. Swordfish is just one of my, it's just one of my favorite fishes. You know, it's a steaky fish.
Yeah.
So it eats, you know, it eats pretty solid. It's not super flaky. It's really stands up. I was actually telling Matt that night, swordfish was such a favorite of mine back in the, going back to high school, you know, in the 80s and early 90s. And swordfish was actually fished out of the water. It was on the endangered species list. And so it was taken off menus everywhere for a long time, like, I don't know, 15, 20 years. And it's, we saved them. They're back. They're back in the waters, and we're allowed to fish for them now. Anyway, so it was exciting that they had that on the specials menu. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm totally having that. Very nice. Matt went for a fillet that looked fabulous. And then after all that, of course, we opted out of desserts, but they had a whole list of that. And I was very also impressed with their wine list.
Matt doesn't strike me as a fillet guy.
I know.
I'd take him for tomahawk.
The cowboy.
Tomahawk for one guy.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to ask him why he chose the fillet. I do know he's on a health kick.
Good.
He's doing a lot of working out.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Yeah, Matt's a good guy. Matt, it's funny that you would end up having dinner with Matt because last Thursday on Facebook, Olive and Fig that we discussed last week, Mediterranean Kitchen over in Bluffton with the Hilton Head address, posted.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
an onion soup, French onion soup, that Olive and Fig is going to start doing through the winter. And they posted it, and Matt and I are Facebook friends, and he shared it, and I saw it, and I went, man, that looks good. I thought it looks good. And he talked about how good it looked. And so I commented on his Facebook page, we need to meet there for lunch one day. And he said, sounds like a good hang. And true story, this was just Thursday or Friday, a few days ago. I thought that I would be able to get over there today, Monday, for lunch. And I was going to text Matt, hey, meet me for lunch on Monday. I'm going to be over there, blah, blah, blah. And I said, let me hold off to see how my next couple of days go before I go committing a trip to Bluffton on Monday for lunch. And it turns out I can't get over there because, as I've mentioned a couple of times, very mysteriously, today is my getaway day. I cannot squeeze in Bluffton because it's not down the street for me. So,
yeah.
So French onion soup with Matt at Olive and Fig is going to have to wait. But the funny thing about that is you wind up having dinner with Matt, which is pretty funny. So
I know. It's so out of the blue. We don't swirl in the same social circles, but we know, I mean, I know his crowd. He knows my crowd. It just was just so happen chance. So yeah. I feel like I have a new friend. But speaking of French onion soup, their special soup actually at Bodie's that night was French onion, and he and I both went ooh because you know it's a crowd pleaser. Everybody loves French onion. But I did also have dinner with the board of Sea Glass Stage last week at Wise Guys. So that was also another dinner out, and I had their French onion soup. That was top notch. Wise Guys, I've never had their French onion soup. That was really good. Did I talk about this already last week? I can't remember what night I went.
No, because it wasn't. We recorded on Monday. It would have been after that.
Well, it must have been. So, yeah. Trying to remember what I had for my actual dinner. Oh, I had the double cut pork chop.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that. I remember
that. We did talk about this already.
But we didn't talk about the soup. Who would you say, do you have a favorite French onion soup on the island?
Oh, gosh. You know, several people do them. I love Alfred's version.
Yeah.
And they're a fave of mine for a lot of different things, but I like their French onion soup. Crane's has a good French onion soup. It's a little bit different that I like. And one of the Sea Pines restaurants has a good one. I can't remember if it's at Harbortown at the clubhouse or if it's Fraser's Tavern.
I think it's Fraser's Tavern.
I think it is Fraser's Tavern, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I love me a good French onion soup. It's funny that this would become a topic of conversation. A few weeks ago in Tallahassee, I went to this new-ish restaurant, been open 4 or 5 months, and I wasn't eating a lot. I got a French onion soup and a side Caesar. And the onion soup comes out, and if you've had French onion soup enough times, then you know the traditional way to serve it is in a bowl with the cheese on top, and that's blasted, crusty, burnt, if you will, around the edges. And then, you know, it's kind of bubbling if it's done well, and you get it and you poke the cheese and the croutons or the bread are underneath and you mix it all up, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this one, when it got to me, it was the bowl, and I'll text you. I'm not going to post this picture because it's very unsightly, but I have the picture. I'll send it to you. The bowl, it was a perfect, you know, French onion soup bowl that could stand up to, I guess, a broiler. Around the rim was what was their cheese. So it was burnt around the edges like it usually is. Uh-huh. Crispy, I should say. But the entire middle, the bowl part, was missing. What was put down in front of me, I'm staring at brown broth and these hunks of bread sticking up. And so I thought, well, this is weird. When they put it in front of me, I thought, well, this is weird. Why is there cheese, burnt cheese around the edges, but in the middle I'm just staring at soup? And I thought, okay, well, maybe that's just the way they serve it here. I have no idea. I had never been to this restaurant. So when I stick the spoon in and I go to kind of stir it up and see what the deal is with the big three hunks of bread inside, the cheese was at the bottom. And it was big, thick globs of cheese at the bottom. And the fact that it was burnt around the edges, I said to myself, this cheese fell into the soup in transport. That's what happened here. Clearly.
In transport, yeah.
Because they clearly had it on top and blasted it, but when it got to me, the cheese fell into the actual soup, and so it was at the bottom. So it was full of cheese, but it was underneath. It was very odd, but...
Interesting.
You know, you get in a college town, and you get servers who don't know, you know, what it should look like, and they served it anyway, and actually the bartender was the owner. One of the bartenders, there were three, she was the owner. We found out after the fact. And I didn't complain. I think you know this about me by now. I don't complain. I don't. If I send something back, it's a miracle. But yeah, they didn't execute that one well at all. But it was a Friday night of a football weekend, so it's a zoo. As you can well imagine, live bullets are flying and everybody's freaking out trying to handle the numbers that they do. So...
you know, French onion soup is one of those things that I love so much of course, I spent a lot of time working it myself and figuring out how to make it and how to make it right and authentic without using, you know, store-bought products or store-bought sodium-filled beef base. You know, I actually will take the time This is what a geek I am. I'll take the time to make my own beef broth by buying bones from the butcher and baking them off with the tomato paste and the veggies and doing the whole thing. And it's quite a process. You know, it's a real process to make that. And then, of course, for the onions, caramelizing the onions is well, there are two tricks to the soup. One is getting the beef broth right, where it's not overly salty.
Right.
And then, of course, caramelizing the onions properly. And what I've learned over the years of cooking is we all love Vidalia onions for so many things. They're sweet. You don't cry as much when you cut them, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're caramelizing onions, and this is a trick I learned from a chef a couple decades ago, when you're caramelizing onions and they go through that process, it's almost like when you think you're done with caramelizing the onions, keep going. The longer you go, the sweeter they get. But the better onion to use is not Vidalia onions for caramelizing. It is actual regular yellow onions. They can stand up to the longer cooking process better than Vidalia onions can.
Interesting.
And I've tried it both ways, and it does make a difference.
I caramelized some red onions yesterday.
Yum.
My dinner yesterday was Mexican spices I used, grilled chicken sandwich with guacamole and caramelized red onions. That was my dinner.
That sounds so good.
It was good. I do want to mention, going back to Bodie's a minute, you know, I mentioned that I had been there a year ago this week. And I think it's worthy of a mention to bring it back up, because at the time, you probably don't remember, but at the time, I don't remember her name. I want to say Sarah, but I know that wasn't it, and I hate the fact that I don't remember. But the young lady that was the server last year was the best service, all capital letters, I have ever had on your island, number one, and one of the top three or four I've ever had in my life.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
She was amazing. I mean, I was like, you know, you talk about servers anticipating your needs before you realize you need them. She was on it, man. And if she still works there, I don't know if anybody listening to this does or knows the staff there. Short, blonde, youngish. She was on it. She was just fantastic. And I hate that I don't remember her name. But for those that don't know, Bodie's is a chain, a small chain out of Michigan, I believe it is.
Correct.
But they have begun work on a Savannah location. So
yes, exciting.
Yeah, I thought they'd be deeper into it by now than they are, but yeah, they're coming. I emailed them in July to do an interview with them, kind of a preview thing. And their vice president of operations emailed me back and said, "Hey, I'm in Michigan. I'll be back in August." And so I drove by to see that no work had begun yet. I'm like, okay, we can wait on that. But yeah, Bodie's is a steakhouse that's coming to Savannah. It's very popular on the island. It's very popular. I've been in there once for dinner, twice for glasses of wine. And that place at 6 o'clock is like Grand Central Station. Was it crowded when you went?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very popular.
It was late when we went, and there was no seating at the bar. I mean, there just happened to be like one table in the entire restaurant.
Right.
Wow. And it's very okay. So let's talk about the decor. That restaurant used to be, it was La Hacienda, a Mexican restaurant. Most recently, before that, it was Dosido's, which was a. What was Dosido's?
A dance?
Do I dare call it a barbecue? I guess kind of a Western barbecue place. Kind of place you can eat the roasted peanuts they bring you and throw the shells on the floor.
Right.
It's kind of fun stuff. But anyway, so their their restoration and renovation of that space. They did a really nice job. It's very handsome.
Yeah.
You walk in the door and you don't feel like you're at in a strip mall on a tropical island. You feel like you've just walked into off the streets of New York or any other cosmopolitan city. And you know, the fact that just, gosh, probably 15 years ago, 20 years ago, we didn't have any true chop houses of this nature. I mean, we have Cranes. You know, Cranes has been around for a long time, and Cranes does a great job. And I'm not disparaging Cranes.
No, not at all.
Any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, these sort of cosmopolitan feeling chop houses were non-existent here. So now we have Bodie's, and there's also the one in Shelter Cove, I think, that we've talked about as well, the Chop House 119.
Yep.
So the fact that now we're starting to have choices for things that is literally a whole market, a whole pocket of missing pieces on this island that, you know, people would grumble, we don't have a true chop house. Well, now we do, you know, and that's moving on up.
Yeah, and I would say off the top of my head, some of the best steaks on the island, I'm going to write it because I think you know by now I'm a steak guy. I will tell you, I'm not going to rank them. That's silly because different strokes for different folks. But I will tell you what I believe and I have been told are the best steaks on the island. For me, I got to go with my guys at Lynx over in Harbortown. There's 119. There's the Sage Room. There is Bodie's. There is
Sage Room.
Sage Room does a great steak.
And their scallops.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that coffee rubbed ribeye, is it a Frankie Bones?
At Frankie Bones, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, those are if you write down that list, Lynx, Chop House, Lynx 119, Bodie's, Sage Room, Frankie Bones. Oh, and your ribeye. I've never had that ribeye you like at Santa Fe, but I've heard it from a few people that it's top notch.
Yeah, that's got to be on the list.
Yep. Those would probably be the any one of those. Yeah. I don't think you can go wrong on the island for steaks. So
totally agree.
Yeah,
totally
yeah.
agree.
So what do you got planned this week coming up before we get out of here?
I have to look at my schedule. I think we're all just glad that we wrapped the show and we can look forward to. We have auditions for our Christmas show. We'll be doing on Wednesday. It will be Christmas My Way, which is the Frank Sinatra story, a Rat Pack celebration of Frank Sinatra tunes, and I think it'll be a wildly successful show. But any crooners out there who are interested in singing tight harmony, come on out for auditions on Wednesday. So we'll be focusing on that and just getting back to, you know, my clients in real estate who are trying to buy a house.
Nice.
That's all I'll be doing. What about
nice.
You?
Nice. Well, tomorrow I leave for Miami, and I'm going to be down there for a week. I'm going to be down there for a week because tomorrow night, Tuesday, and this is kind of near and dear to my heart. It just came out of left field, and I said, you know what? I think I want to do that. I got an email from my high school, Christopher Columbus High School in Miami, that they were restarting their mentor program for their students. Now, my high school has a broadcast studio. It's Christopher Columbus High School. They call it CCTV. And I don't know exactly what they do with all of that, but I know that they have classes and they help train the kids for careers in broadcast at the high school level. So when the email went out to the alumni about, you know, enrolling in the mentor program, I thought about that studio and I said, you know, I could offer a lot to any student going into that thing. And so I said, let me see what this entails. So I looked and the requirements, I could meet all of them. And the orientation was Tuesday night, October 22nd. And I'm going to be down there already because I have a book signing next Monday down in Coral Gables, which is near where I grew up. Savannah Food Crawls, you can find it at Amazon and eatinalaka.com. But when the orientation for the mentor program at my high school came up, you know, 4 or 5 days before the book signing, I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. And so tomorrow morning, I'm going to drive down to Miami, and tomorrow night, I'm going to enroll in the mentor program at my high school. And I don't know what's going to come of it.
How fun.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to come of it. I don't know what it's going to look like, A, B, C, D, E. I have no idea, but I'm looking forward to seeing what I can offer some young men who are looking to get into the broadcast field.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great thing to do.
Yeah, and I'll be very honest with you and anybody listening to this. When I thought it through, do I want to commit to something like this so far away? I discussed it with my wife, and I said, you know, at the very least, this will give me a reason maybe twice a year to go back to Miami for something other than a funeral or a big occasion. Just go because you're involved in this thing. And that appealed to me. So I said, you know what? I'm doing it. So I'll be at my high school tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and we'll see what comes of that. But that's the beginning of a whole week. Monday, I will have a book signing at Books and Books in Coral Gables, if you'd like to join us, anybody who's listening who's going to be down there. And so it'll be a whole week in Miami. I'll shoot you some texts where I'm having a fruity drink.
Oh, I love it when you send me pictures from all your adventures.
Although, you know, it's funny because... yes, it's funny because I go on these trips, especially when they stretch out for 5, 6, 7 days. I spend a lot of time in a hotel room working. Everybody thinks, oh, you know, up all night, sleep all day, kind of party. But no, I spend a lot of time during the day getting stuff done. In this instance, it allows me to see some dear friends and family and stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good. So
I will
keep you posted. All right, we got to get out of here. We've run very long, but I think we've covered a lot here today. Where can we find you if we want to buy a second, third, or fourth home on your island?
I'm a realtor with the Kaiser Jatan team at EXP Realty, and you can view properties for sale at our website. You can reach by typing in margaretcrenshaw.com.
Sounds good. All right, you enjoy your week. We will circle back next Monday.